I notice over the years there's no end to the number of people that would like to tell preachers exactly how to do their job and what they're allowed to say and what they're not allowed to say. See, a lot of people don't want to hear about things like sin and the consequences of them. They don't want to be told how to live a godly life. And so they will sometimes tell preachers, well, just stick to the gospel. You see this all over the world. Many churches are more interested in numbers. And so a full disclosure of the truth is really not what they're after. They'll water down the truth because, well, that makes it more acceptable to more people. And what you end up with is vague generalities, messages about feeling good about yourself. But when Jesus in Mark 16, and that's where we're going to start with, in Mark 16 and verse 16, sorry, verse 15, Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. What did Jesus mean by that? What did he mean by go and preach the gospel to all the world? Well, the word gospel means good news, but what good news are we talking about? And that's what we're going to try to examine this evening. Now, the first four books that we have in our New Testament are called the Gospels. And that's because they have the account of God coming into the world. In Mark chapter 1 and in verse 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the good news that the Son of God came into this world. His name was Jesus, the anointed one, the Christ. It's wonderful news that God lived among men. It's incredible news, actually, if you think about it. In John chapter 1, and in verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's not just the history of a man, but the good news that what the Son of God did, what He did for us, what He accomplished on our behalf. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 1, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ is the core of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins to make an atonement for them. In fact, in 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 9. 'By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.'" See, when Jesus was raised from the dead, His resurrection proved something. It proved that God accepted His sacrifice on our behalf. And it shows that we have been forgiven of our sins. Going to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 23. Romans chapter 4, verse 23. Not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Because we were saved by God's sacrifice on our behalf. Jesus was raised on our behalf. So it serves as proof. He arose that we might too believe that one day we will also be raised. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this time down at verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom of God to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. Christ was raised, and we know that we will also be raised. And that serves also as the core of the gospel. It is God's gift. The good news is God has given us eternal life. And he's done so through Jesus Christ. Over in Romans chapter 6, Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the gospel shines forth the glory of Christ. Both who he is, what he did, and what he's done for us. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But the good news is not just about Christ. There's a lot of people that want to limit and see it's just about the death, burial, and resurrection, or that we are saved from sins. But that's not all the good news that God has given us. There's also good news about the kingdom. In Mark chapter 1 again, this time in verse 14, we find something that Jesus preached. Mark chapter 1, and in verse 14 it says, now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel is about Christ, but there's something else that Christ did. And that is establish a kingdom. That which is made up of his followers. It's exciting news that God has chosen men from every nation to be his special people. He's no longer limited to just one group, one nationality. Not like it was under the Old Testament. In fact, back in Isaiah chapter 49, in a prophecy concerning the Christ, Isaiah 49, starting with verse 6, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore them and preserve the ones of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by nations, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see and arise, princes will bow down, because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, has chosen you. Now, understand what he's saying. It's too small just to save one nation. That's not significant enough. God chose to save all the world, all the nations. And so the Gentiles were offered the kingdom. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15, and in verse 16, Romans 15, starting with verse 16, Paul talking about himself says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The gospel was part, the good news was part of it, was the fact that Paul was able to offer salvation to the Gentiles. To be able to offer entrance into Christ's kingdom, the church. All were brought into the kingdom. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 11. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You were once separated. But there's good news. You've been brought near by the blood of Christ. You're now part of the covenant. Or can choose to be so. You know that good news, it wasn't just preached at the time of after Christ either. That good news has been in the world for a long time. Though some people didn't recognize it. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And starting with verse 8. Says the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. All the way back in Abraham's day, the gospel was being preached. Good news was being relayed. All the nations were going to be blessed through Abraham's seed. And the riches of Christ, the news that Gentiles would share in the wealth of the blessings that are in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3 this time, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1, it says, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard this of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery which I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me according to the working of his power. To me, this very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Gentiles were to be saved. They were a part of the whole thing. They were a part of Christ's kingdom. And all that wealth that was there was theirs for the taking it. They would choose to do so. That is good news to a world that was lost in sin. And so people have been called by the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, "It is for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is how people came to know and came into the church, was through the gospel. But you know, the good news doesn't just stop there either, because we're talking about God's grace, God's gift to mankind. The gospel is the news of salvation. Take a look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. "But I do not consider my life any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." God's grace is also a part of it. And I got my slides mixed up here again. So let's see if I can figure it out where I'm at. Nope. Did I skip a whole section? It looks like I did. Amazing. Hold on, we'll get to those passages in a little bit. But there is also the gospel of our salvation. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. I knew something was wrong because I looked out and everybody was looking puzzled like, huh? Where is he? Ephesians chapter 1. And starting with verse 13. "In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as the pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." It's good news that we have been saved. And that's a gift that God gave us. The gospel is God's power to save people. Take a look at Romans chapter 1 and in verse 15. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. "As for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed by faith, from faith to faith, as is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." It is God's power for salvation. That's what the news is, the good news. And so we are born through the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel." He's saying you were born through the message that I preached. Life and immortality is revealed in the gospel. That we have eternal life. And that we can live eternally. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 10. "But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." It tells us about our salvation. That's the gospel message too. That is the good news. This life is not what it's all about. We're just passing through. We have eternal life waiting for us. What more exciting message can there be? And is that what we live and hope in? Take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed to all the creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. There's a hope in that gospel. There's an expectation that we have. We're talking about the expectation of heaven and eternal life. But the gospel is also the good news. Now we can get back to the slides. In Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. We talked about this earlier, but let's make another note of it. Mark chapter 1. And in verse 15, it's Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. The good news is God's teaching as well. People need to change and believe in the gospel, to repent. The gospel is what we believe in, the gospel is what changes us. The gospel is what people died for. Take a look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and in verse 35. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. People died for this gospel. This news was so good. The people were willing to give their life up for it. In fact, people gave up everything they had for it. Take a look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 29. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms along with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. We might have to give up a whole lot, but we gain a whole lot more. And people were willing to do that for the sake of that gospel message. And it's what people confessed to, not only by words, but just even how they lived. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contributions to them and to all. When those in Corinth and those in Macedonia gave of their means to help up fellow Christians, it was evidence of the gospel. It was an example. It was a confession, Paul said, of what the gospel was all about. And that was the gospel that was preached everywhere. Take a look at Luke 20. Luke chapter 20. In verse 1, on one of the days while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes confronted him. And so Jesus preached the gospel. He did it in the temple. The apostles preached the gospel. Take a look at Acts chapter 8 and verse 25. And so they solemnly testified and spoke the word of the Lord, and starting back to Jerusalem, and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. It started in Jerusalem. It spread outwards, going through Judea into Samaria. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, or 7. Acts 14 verse 7. And they continued to preach the gospel, talking about going up into Asia Minor. And down in verse 21. After this, they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Then in chapter 16, verse 10, and these are not all the passages. And when he saw the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so they moved into Macedonia and then into Greece. Eventually it went to Rome. It went out to Spain. People were going everywhere preaching the good news. And it had to be defended as well. When people contradicted what was being taught, it had to be defended. In Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 17. The former proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. I wanted another passage. But I can't see it right at the moment. Okay, verse 27. Only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. People had to defend it. They had to work for it. They had to stand up for it because people wouldn't always accept it. It was the word of the gospel, the message that was being taught. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. Acts chapter 15 verse 7. After there was much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. It was the teaching, the word, that was made up the gospel. In fact, in Acts, or Romans chapter 10, and in verse 15, saying, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. What is the gospel? It's the word of Christ. Well, the word is the truth. Take a look at John 17 and verse 17. John 17 and in verse 17. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. And that's why we find, like in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. The gospel is the word of truth. Not just some truth, all truth. That's why Paul said it cannot be altered. In Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Starting with verse 6. I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is not really another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. The gospel of God is the truth. The truth doesn't change. And oh, we got a whole world of people who are trying to change that message. Trying to alter it in some way to suit their desires. But the truth remains. And it cannot be altered. And that truth was revealed to bring the obedience of faith. Take a look at Romans chapter 16. In verse 25, Romans 16, verse 25, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret for long ages past, but is now manifested and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. The gospel is what we obey, as well as what we believe in. And that gospel message convicts people, tells them that they sin. And that's why some people don't like it. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 8, 1 Timothy 1 verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that the law was not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers or for murderers, and for immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with whom which I have been entrusted. What is the gospel about? It's the laws of God that convicts sinners of their sins. And that's part of the glorious gospel, the good news. Paul called it sound doctrine, sound teaching. You notice that the gospel is the entire Bible then? It's God's word. The gospel that was preached to the Israelites, but they didn't benefit from it. In fact, take a look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united with by faith in those who heard. They had good news preached to them. Talking about the people that wandered in the wilderness. God taught them his word. That was wonderful. In fact, Moses talked about it in Deuteronomy chapter 4. What other nation has such a law as we'd have? God gave their laws directly. That's good news itself. They didn't obey it. Good news also, it's hard to sometimes think about it, but think about this. The gospel also was about the destruction of Jerusalem. in Matthew chapter 24. In verse 14. When Jesus was talking about the fact that Jerusalem would be destroyed. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. How could the destruction of Jerusalem be good news? Because it proved that what Jesus said was true. Jesus said that there was not going to be one stone left upon another. It came about just as Christ said. God was talking through Christ. That's good news. In Matthew 26, something else that we may not think about as being part of the gospel. In Matthew 26 and verse 13, after Jesus' feet were being washed, Jesus said, truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. The deeds of the disciples. Even such lowly things as one woman washing Jesus' feet. That was part of the good news. Why? It showed people accepted the message, were convicted by it, and did all they could to follow it. So what is the gospel? Peter tells us. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word which was preached to you. The gospel message went out to all the world and it saved people. What was it? This is the word that was preached to you. It's the Bible. It's the Old Testament. It's the New Testament, especially the New Testament. But it's God's word, talking about the sins of man and how God rescued us from those sins. About Jesus Christ coming in the flesh to bring us salvation. About the kingdom that God invited us into. About the eternal life that he offers us. It's all of it. And it's by the gospel we are going to be judged. Take a look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. Paul says, on the day when according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. So if that gospel is not obeyed, we die. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and in verse 18, or 8, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, it says, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. How important is the gospel? It's what saves us. If we don't obey it, we lose our lives. We die. In 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And in verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? There's the question. If we don't bring the gospel to other people, what are going to happen to them? How are they going to possibly be saved? See, the gospel is the good news that came from God to man. And it's our duty to spread it. And are there going to be people that will refuse to hear it? Yes. But do we change it to please them? Absolutely not. Because it's the truth that brings salvation to them. I hope you'll think about those things that we talked about today. If there's anyone here who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there's any here who would like to have the prayers of the brethren on their behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song we selected.